Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries. Chapter 6. The Fellowship of the Mystery. The Heights. Scriptures. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ephesians 3:8-15. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one. They have all one language, and this day they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. Genesis 11:1-9. But in the latter days it shall come to pass that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the peoples shall flow unto it. And many nations shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples and will decide concerning strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of Jehovah of hosts has spoken it. For all the peoples walk every one in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of Jehovah our God forever and ever. In that day, saith Jehovah, I will assemble that which is lame, and I will gather that which is driven away, and that which I have afflicted. And I will make that which was lame a remnant, and that which was cast off a strong nation. And Jehovah will reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, yea, the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished, that pangs have taken hold of thee, as a woman in travail? Be in pain, and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and shalt dwell in the field, and shalt come even unto Babylon. There shalt thou be rescued. There will Jehovah redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. And now many nations are assembled against thee, that say, Let her be defiled, and let our eyes see our desire upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of Jehovah, neither understand they his counsel, for he hath gathered them as the sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many peoples, and I will devote their gain unto Jehovah, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Micah 4, 1-13, America Standard Version. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? But according to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. 2 Peter 3, 9-13, American Standard Version. And Jesus went out and departed from the people, from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24, 1-5. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs, and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, Behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 24:15-31. And scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Then was I carried to the outer circumference of the atmosphere above the earth, wherein I was able to see in a moment of time all the nations that dwelt upon the earth, and all the people which lived in this present time in the nations. I saw in the midst of the nations a huge tower. Its height was terrible and high, even to the top of the atmosphere, as high as man could go. The tower was built and reinforced with large rocks, and mortared with untempered mortar, as if a man was in a great hurry to build this edifice. As fast as man had increased in knowledge in the earth, so fast had this tower also increased in height. As fast as man had increased his wealth and ability to become his own god, so fast and high and numerous were the stones that were shaped and chiseled to fit with each other and joined with this untempered mortar. I saw then above the tower the pride of man ascending and his ability to be his own god increasing. At the same time, I saw large black birds circling around the tower, flying in the air, and not ever landing upon the ground beneath the tower. These birds were huge in size, very black, with long stringy feathers. Immediately, understanding came to me, and I knew that these were principalities and powers, the spirits of wickedness in high places. At the same time as they circled this tower, I could see that now and then elements of light and love and peace from the Spirit of the Lord would approach men who built this tower. But every time the Spirit of the Lord would approach this tower, the birds would fight off the light, the hope, the joy, the peace and love of the Lord from reaching men. The birds jealously guarded the tower so that darkness would remain to be its light, and fear and dread would remain to envelop the tower and enslave those who built it higher and higher. At the base of the tower, in the midst of the nations, were the croplands. The crops grew every kind of food element, and there were also vines and vessels of wine. Then I saw God above the tower in wrath begin to shake this tower. From the top of the stones began to crumble, and the untempered mortar began to crack and break as God shook the tower that man had built in our time. As the shaking took place, I saw that below the tower and the foundations thereof, cracks appeared in our time, and that cracks, and one rather large crack, raced up the spine of the tower towards the top where the stones were coming apart. I saw also that the crops all turned to dust, that there was no fruit to the plants there, and I saw that the vessels of wine had turned to vinegar in themselves. I asked the angel which held me here to see this judgment of the tower. What about the promise of the Lord that there would be seed time and harvest? The angel did not answer me, but bid me look further. Continuing to look, I saw that the tower began an immediate collapse, that the collapse took but a brief moment of time, and that many men were killed as the stones rolled down upon them, crushing them under their weight. Even though the stones fell down and the tower was collapsing, men still worshipped the tower made with their own hands, and they did not repent of their evil works. Neither did the blackbirds remove themselves from where the tower was located. Even when the tower had collapsed, completely into dust. The fowls of the air remained and still rejected any motion of the Spirit of the Lord towards the men who had built the tower. I saw that this was to be a quick judgment, a fast work, a holding back of the fruit of the earth until men's rule and ways have been thus judged. End vision. Second vision. I saw a head of singular wheat stalk in the hand of a man. The hand crushed the wheat stalk to remove the chaff, but the grains inside the stalk were but dust, and there was no food or sustenance in the stalk that the man held. The Lord is allowing a famine to come, even in the element of food for the nations. End vision. And visions. 1 John 4:16-19 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Writing further on the fellowship of the mystery, one must realize that the true expression of this mystery can only be understood when the overcomer forsakes all other things to come apart solely unto the Lord alone. This coming apart then becomes a precious element in the life of an overcomer. The solitude becomes a sanctuary, the silence a gift, the heart-to-heart communion of the Lord and the overcomer is only explained by the deep calling unto the deep within the soul. Such is the walk of the overcomer in this hour and in the fellowship of the mystery. There is no depth that can be expressed to another person, no element of communion in ingesting the blood and the flesh of Jesus that any other person can understand, except for those few who are experiencing this also. It matters not your position in the earth, whether you are like the centurion in Jesus' day, who had rule and authority, yet had a heart tender towards the living Christ, or if you are but a wage earner, plying your trade day by day to earn your bread. What matters is this heart-to-heart communion that the Lord jealously guards. That closet time he requires of each one who would be found faithful in the Lord's sight alone, most elect and precious. For these are the elect, the ones who will take part in the coming of Jesus. A day had come to me, and the Lord met me early and asked me to come out aside from my wife and family and to come apart unto him. I did so, walking the streets and the byways of this town while enjoying the fellowship of the mystery, which to me was no mystery, but was an open unveiling of the Lord in my life, even though no other person around could see it. There I walked, my old hat and coat, my worn-out shoes, walking in the heights of glory, communing with the Lord. As I walked, I saw all the buildings and streets, and everything built into the power grid of this place I dwell in. All the governing rule of men, the prestige of this nation. The Lord then said to me, "All that men have built must be unbuilt." The understanding came to me that in the coming time of transition, two very important things will take place. First, the Lord is definitely coming, and he is coming to gather his elect out from the four corners of the earth. These are the overcomers, those who endured a vast array of trials and temptations, hurtful things which cause their lives to experience every kind of emotion known to the soul, emotions of joy and peace as well as pressures and heaviness, depression and despondency. To those who thus endured these things and kept their gaze upon Jesus Christ alone, he will come. This is his army, his company of saints, who will be one in the same in the first resurrection. Not just those alive now, but also those whose bodies lay in the dust of the earth, having overcome the same way in the time frame they lived in. The Lord is going to come, and his coming will remove your physical blood from your body you are in right now, and that physical blood will be replaced with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is an unmeasured flow, a flow of the resurrection power of the Most High God, blood that will glorify your flesh. You will enter the eternal state in a glorified body, and you will never die. Your body will change in the amount of time it takes for you to blink an eyelid, and this change will never be reversed or subject to futility. All the power that is now resident in the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father will reside in this very same way in your glorified flesh. All that makes Jesus Lord will enable you to be Lord alongside of him. All that makes Jesus King will enable you to be a king alongside of him. All that the Father gave Jesus, including placing death under his feet, will also be your portion. This is prophecy, and it is going to happen just as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow. You are going to be glorified, dear reader, and nothing will prevent this from coming to you and happening to you. The second important thing that will happen is that all of mankind will see this little small company of people in their glorified state. Within 1 hour, men will understand the fellowship of the mystery, for this mystery will be revealed openly before them in the persons of those who now stand in the earth in new eternal bodies. The end result of the fellowship of the mystery will be the revelation of the Lord's tiny little army, an army that is bigger than any giant, larger than any other army that has ever existed. Even if they numbered in the millions, this small little group of overcomers, few in number, glorified, will dwarf anything else that has been previous in the world of men from the beginning of time. In one single hour, this army will entirely discomfit all nations and bring them to a complete standstill. There will not be anything anywhere that will endure long enough to resist this army. All the nations will see this. Even the nations now extinct in death, they too will see the overcomers stand in glorified bodies with all the unlimited power of the Lord God Almighty without measure upon them. And then men will begin the task of unbuilding everything that has been built since Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and built in the land of Nod. Everything you see, dear reader of this page, every building, every street made of asphalt or stone or concrete, every power line in the overall power grid, every lamppost, every bridge, everything everywhere that the hand of man built will begin in that day to be unbuilt by the nations. This change that is coming to this world will be sudden, not gradual, and the unbuilding by the nations will be done at the very start of the millennial reign of Christ and the overcomers. The entire world is going to turn back to an Edenic state when the millennium is here. But men will first undo all that was done, and all that was done will never be again. in a practical sense, everything, including even toxic sewer and water systems, will be dismantled. Everything built upon this earth, causing it to be polluted, will be unpolluted. There will be no more the use of internal combustion engine, no use of the petroleum industry to fuel the economy and jobs. The entire world of men will be set in motion to undo all that was done by the hand of man. Not only will the infrastructure be undone, but so will all the realms of man's rulership through their carnal governments and earthly monarchs. Everything related to money and finance will be abolished. There will be no money, no finance, no government other than the Lord's army, who will be the only governing authority in the earth. All else ceases. So also any religion, Christianity or otherwise, it all ceases in one single hour. Why? Because standing before the nations of the earth will be this little small troop of overcomers standing in glorified bodies. They, along with Jesus, all bear the marks of the cross. These will be the only answer the Lord will give to this entire world. It matters not how far man builds their technologies or their efforts at making a name for themselves. It is all about to come to naught, for that is what the Lord revealed to me. Then men will learn the true meaning of the fellowship of the mystery, and it will no more be a mystery, for the Lord will make it plain. We will feed them, clothe them, and teach them, and best of all, love them. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.